It is as though we came to the end of a long, hot journey and found a clearing with a cool breeze, running water, and a table set with righteousness. And that's good for us, the people of God, because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right thing. That thing that includes us saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the one thing. Let's pray. God, it is in awesome wonder that we consider all the worlds your hands have made. Stars, rolling thunder. Your power is always on display. And we ask for that, not with thunder, but with tender forgiveness, that you meet us here in this place as we proclaim your word together today, as we make this covenant anew with you, our one true God, whom we choose to serve on this day in the name of Jesus. A large John Deere riding lawnmower was cutting the grass along the bayou on Memorial Drive mid-morning last Monday. The air was warm and damp, scented with that unmistakable smell of freshly cut grass. And as I made my way from downtown back to our little neck of the woods, I thought, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That thought, that commitment, that ideal of ideals comes from an old man during old times. His name was Joshua, and he was a promised land kind of man. He believed what God told him, even though he could not see the future clearly, and quite frankly, had a hard time seeing the present. Sound familiar? Which is why he said, the one thing, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes saying such a thing comes at the most regular of times, not during the parting of deep waters, not during the burning of shrubberies echoing the voice of God, but during meetings and speeches and long drives across the country. Last month, when Jen and I drove to Colorado for our big family wedding, we drove through Clarendon, Texas. You too may have driven through Clarendon, Texas at some point, although chances are good that you may not have even realized that you were driving through Clarendon, Texas, because it all looks the same. So many small towns out west, old courthouses in the middle of town on the square, Allsup's gas stations and convenience stores with a fried food collection neatly placed under heat lamps. And the one that got my attention in such a way that made me write it down so that I would never forget, the store I drove past in Clarendon, Texas, called All Aboard Quality Junk. Now, who could resist a promise of quality junk? Well, I guess I could, because we kept driving. But as we drove away, I thought about the people of God who had gone before us. I was actually thinking about this sermon and how the people who went before us journeyed and how they traveled and how they had a hard time seeing into the future. And quite frankly, the people who went before us had a hard time seeing the present. Sound familiar? They too, like us, had to make decisions and commitments and try to discern what often feels like the mysterious will of God. And so, the decision, commitment, discernment they centered their lives around was the decision, commitment, discernment that their promised land kind of man made once he gathered them all together and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." At the end of his life, when it was time to pass the torch, Joshua gathered the people together, and the story begins like this, from Joshua 23. "A long time afterwards, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies all around, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, their elders and heads, their judges and officers, and said to them, 'I am now old and well advanced in years.'" It won't be long after until he says the one big thing that is going to set the tone for centuries to come. The story begins again in the next chapter, which is actually the last chapter of the book that bears his name, the book of Joshua. And the second ending of the story begins like this at the beginning of Joshua 24. "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel." Sound familiar? Same thing's happening again. "And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors.'" Both of these beginnings of the end of the story have the same ingredients. Did you notice? Joshua, the leaders of the people, and the people. But they also have an indelible awareness of the thing that never, ever, ever goes away: time. They are acutely aware of time. Time is all over the end of the book of Joshua. Time will not leave us alone. We can't ignore it, no matter how hard we try when we get to the end of Joshua. Time is there staring us in the face and says, "You will pay attention to me." Joshua is well advanced in years. And he tells their story that begins, "Long ago, your ancestors." I look around this beautiful room filled with your faithful faces, and many of you are well advanced in years. But I also look around this beautiful room filled with your faithful faces, and all of us have the same beginning to the same story. Whether you are well advanced in years, or even if you are our newborn baby, we all together share the time thing in common that begins our story with the same exact phrase: "Long ago, your ancestors." This is no Johnny-come-lately gathering today. Far from it. We continue on this morning an old tradition. And it's an old tradition that even makes those of you well advanced in years look like young whippersnappers. Because the story of the people of God told to us today by none other than Joshua himself is a story that goes back thousands of years. And none of us are even close yet to thousands of years. This is an old, long ago, promised land kind of story that reminds us how new our story is in the old, old story. And it is an old, old story where we first learned how to say the one big thing. That one big thing that we too often forget, when we get caught up more in our new story instead of the old story. And it is the one thing that goes, and you're welcome to say it with me if you've heard it before. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've often said that in the past about my own home, my wife and kids, and even the four cats that we've had along the way. That as far as I could try my best, we were going to be a house that at least tried to keep sight of the one big thing. But it is just as important, if not a little more difficult, to make such a decision, commitment, discernment for our family of Jesus followers in this place. We have made good decisions in the past. And we have to make decisions to do the right thing, even if it's unpopular at times. And I'm not talking about issues or politics or buildings or budgets. I'm talking about the most unpopular decision that just happens to be the pearl of great price. That most unpopular of commitments that flies in the face of a worldly world. That ultra unpopular discernment that we must say week after week that goes, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The good news of the Exodus story is that it did not last. Wilderness is not permanent. There is a promised land. There is an end to the desert. Eventually it meets the sea, and you come to water. In our case, living water, and you come to trees and flowers. And while I'm often a little more Cassandra and hardly at all Pollyanna, there is a time for blue skies and rainbows, if nothing more than a world imagined, because it is a world that is promised by God. But our part is to live into that promise, never letting ourselves get distracted by, well, ourselves. Because whether on the blue skies days or the rainy cloud days, the one big thing never changes. And that is precisely why Joshua, at the end of his life, at the end of their Exodus story into the promised land, that is precisely why Joshua summoned all the people together. And then Joshua, as only Joshua could at that point, did what we are going to try to hear today. Joshua took all of space and time, all of their past and present, all of their Egypts and promised lands, all of their Houstons and Clarendon, Texases, all of their blue skies and all of their gray clouds in days when the air was warm and damp, scented with the unmistakable smell of freshly cut grass. Those are the days when Joshua spoke to the people, including us today, as if this was being said for the first time in our hearing. And this, at the end of Joshua's life, was what he said when he summoned the people together. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve the Lord in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us up and our ancestors from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight. He protected us all along the way that when we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out all before us, the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land, therefore we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You can't serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses of yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Joshua said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God, we will serve, and the Lord we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. Today is a good day for making a covenant and for remembering the one big thing. Today is a good day for decisions to have no other gods before our one true God. Today is a good day for making commitments to one another, because we have all discerned together a cause for great celebration that begins with us saying, with our unified hearts, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It is as though we came to the end of a long, hot journey and found a clearing with a cool breeze, running water, and a table set with righteousness. And that's good for us, the people of God, because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for the right thing, the one big thing that includes us saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is the one thing.